Hey kids, it's Krusty the Clown. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. Alright, where's my money? What? Chintzy college stations.
Thank you. Folk Songs of America, another program by that inimitable singer of America's own songs, Huey Leadbelly Ledbetter. Leadbelly can sing so many songs and so many different kinds that it's often a problem which to choose. How many songs do you know, Huey?
Well, I can sing 500 songs and never go back to the first one.
My goodness, that's quite a mess of songs. Well, today, Leadbelly's decided to give you a cross-section of his repertoire, one or two samples of several different types of songs he sings. The first is a group of work songs, beginning with the old favorite, Grey Goose.
Now, this is a Grey Goose. The preacher went out hunting down in my home on a Sunday when he's supposed to have been at church, and he was a pastor of that church. And he went out to try to kill a gray goose instead of being at church, and the amen sisters found it out, and they was talking it over the next week. Said, did you know the reverend went out trying to kill him a goose? Well, one of the sisters said, Lord, Lord, Lord. And that's where that Lord, Lord come in. So I'm going to tell you about that preacher. Now, that old gray goose is still laughing at him yet. One Sunday morning, Lord, 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 preacher went and heard it. Lord, 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 he carried along with shotgun. Lord, 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 long come a great goose. Lord, 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 gun went off the bloom. Lord, 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 down come the great goose. Lord, 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 he was 6 weeks a-falling. Lord, 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 he was 6 weeks a-hauling. Lord, 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 then my wife and your wife. Lord, 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 give a better picking. Lord, 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 they were 6 weeks of picking. And they put him on a pebble. He was 6 weeks of boiling. Then they put him on a table. And the fork wouldn't stick him. And the knife couldn't cut him. Then they throw him in the hog pen. And the hog couldn't eat him. Lord, 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 they broke the hog's teeth out. Lord, 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 they took him to the sawmill. Lord, 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 and the saw couldn't cut him. And they broke the saw teeth out. And the last time I see him, he was flying across the ocean with a long string of golden. Lord, 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 and the hog went quack, quack. Lord, Lord, Lord.
Now, here's a song about another kind of work, cotton picking. Another favorite, boll weevil.
Now, this is a boll weevil, and this is a boll weevil come through down south. It was a man, he's a sharecropper, and he used to raise 25 and 30 bales of cotton. And after the boll weevil come through, he didn't make but one bale. And while the boll weevil done come and gone, this is his talk, and I'm going to sing it to you in a song. You can talk about it, ladies, about the ladies of your own. These boll weevils, they will rob you of a home. They're looking for a home. They're looking for a home. One time I seen a boll weevil, he was sitting on a square. The next time I seen a boll weevil, he had his whole family there. He's looking for a home. He's looking for a home. He's looking for home. He's looking for home. He's looking for home. He's looking for home. The farmer taking the boll weevil, he put him in the eye. People with him said to the farmer, you're treating me mighty nice, and I'll have a home. And I'll have a home. Farmer taking the boll weevil, he put him in the sand. People with him, he said to the farmer, you treat me like a man, and I'll have a home, and I'll have a home. I will have a home, I will have a home, and I'll have a home, and I will have a home. The old man said to the old lady, baby, what do you think of that? I got one of them boll weevils out of my brand new duckling hat, and it's full of hope, and it's full of hope. The old lady said to the old man, I'm trying my level best. Keep these boll weevils out of my brand new cotton dress and that's full of holes. And that's full of holes. It is 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 full of holes. The farmer, he said to the merchant, I never made but one bale. Before I let you have that last one, I will suffer and die and deal. And I'll have a home, and I will have a home. I've been about to ask you people who come cold as stone. Tell them it's you to let better. He's just been yelling, gone. He's looking for home. 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 He's looking for home.
Well, now we turn from work to play. A Sookie Jump tune, a tune that's still popular at dances down in Texas. Yaller Gal.
Now, this is Yaller Gal. The boys would go to a Sookie Jump, and to the girl down there, she was named Yaller Gal. When they go to the Sookie Jump, they'd call for Yaller Gal, and they get to dance, they'd sing about Yaller Gal. Oh, my yellow, oh, my yellow, oh, my yellow gal. My yellow, 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 oh, my yellow gal. My yellow, 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 oh, my yellow gal. My yellow, 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 oh, my yellow gal. I went home with a 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 yellow gal. My yellow, 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 oh, my yellow gal. My yellow, 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 oh, my yellow gal. My yellow, oh, my yellow, oh, my yellow gal. My yellow, oh, my yellow, oh, my yellow gal. I got stuck on the 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 yellow gal. Yellow, 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 yellow gal. Never said a word to the yellow gal. I never said a word to the yellow gal. Never said a word to the yellow gal. I never said a word to the yellow gal. My yellow, 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 yellow gal. She's pretty and fat, yellow gal. Pretty and fat, yellow gal. She got pretty hair, yellow gal. She got pretty hair, yellow gal. My yellow, 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 yellow gal.
More play. This time a children's play song. Ha ha this away, ha ha that away.
And this year's children's playing. Down home they play like little frogs in a mill pond. They'd get around and grab one another by the home and they'd dance around, they'd sing. And if they sing, they dance the way they're singing. If they say ha ha this away, that means this away. They ha ha that away, that means you're going from me to somebody else. Ha ha this away, ha ha that away, ha ha this away, and then oh then. When I was a little boy, little boy, little boy, when I was a little boy, 12 years old, Papa went and left me, left me, left me. Papa went and left me, so I was told. Ha ha this away, ha ha that away, ha ha this away, and then oh then. Mama come and got me, got me, got me. Mama come and got me to save my soul. Mama never whipped me, whipped me, whipped me. Mama never whipped me, so I was told. Ha ha, this is whip, ha ha, that away. Ha ha, this is when they know then. I went to school, went to school, went to school. I went to school and I was 12 years old. Obey the rule, the rule, the rule. Obey the rules as I was told. Ha ha, this way, ha ha, that way. Ha ha, this way, and then oh then. Went to a teacher, teacher, teacher. Went to a teacher to save my soul. Teacher was a preacher, preacher, preacher. Teacher was a preacher, so I was told. Ha ha, this way, ha ha, that way. Ha ha, this way, and then oh then. Learned my lesson, lesson, lesson. Learned my lesson to save my soul. Wasn't that a blessing, blessing, blessing? Wasn't that a blessing? So I was told. Ha, this way, ha, that away. Ha, this way, they know sin. Ha, ha, this way, ha, ha, that away. Ha, ha, this way, they know sin.
Leadbelly winds up today's proceedings with one of the wailingest, lonesomest blues you've ever heard. Leavin' Blues.
Now this is leaving blue. What I mean is leaving time. This man had lived with a woman 20 years. And he's waiting for the TPS shop. And when he coming home that evening, his time to come home was 5 o'clock. She got behind the door, and just as he walked to the yard gate to come in, she jumped out behind the door and threw up both hands. She said, "You can't come in here no more." He says, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, I don't want you." He said, "Can I get in my clothes?" She said, "No." Then "You can't come," and he turned around. Now get in the blue. Yes, I'm leaving, leaving, mama. Woo. But I don't know which way to go. I'm leaving, mama. But I don't know which way to go. Cause that woman I've been living with for 20 years, mama, says she don't want me. And I feel like walking, mama. Woo. And I feel like lying down. I feel like walking, mama. And I feel like lying down. Cause the woman I've been loving with for 20 years, mama, Lord, she done sold me down. Brother, see my coffin coming. Woo! Lord and Lord and my back door. Brother, see my coffin coming, mama. Lord and Lord and my back door. And yet that good-looking woman tell me to my face, mama, that she can't use me no more. I got holes in my pocket, baby. Woo! I got patches on my pants. I got holes in my pocket, mama. I got patches on my pants. I'm behind in my house rent, mama. Landlord, he wanted all in his back. Why don't we get it on? Everything I'll do is wrong. Tell me what the reason I'm not pleasing you. If I kiss you, you'll get. If I don't, you feel bad. Tell me what the reason I'm not listening. You can go your way, I can go my way. Go from door to door. I done give you every nickel that I had to you, mama. You know I ain't got no more. I have tried and then I'll try. But still you ain't satisfied. Tell me what the reason I'm not listening.
You have been listening to Folk Songs of America, featuring the great folk singer, Beauty Leadbelly Leadbetter. If you'd like a copy of the words of Grey Goose, one of the songs you heard on today's program, just write to Station WNYC, Municipal Building, New York City, and enclose a 3-cent stamp. Leadbelly will be back again next week with his friend Miss Ann Graham. And for the very first time, Hildy says, we'll hear a lady singing work songs. This program was written, produced, and announced by Amnon Valver. This is the Municipal Broadcasting System.
You're listening to Nucleotapes on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Nucleotapes on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3. I'm your host, Claude Glass. On this show, we look to unpack the musical DNA of a certain artist. And on this week, we are looking at the music of Alice Coltrane, who is primarily known as a harpist, pianist, organ player, spiritual figure. Alice Coltrane's career really has spanned decades, genres. She really is one of those rare artists that continued to find new ways to kind of redefine herself and explore new territory. In the 70s, she had a wonderful run of solo releases as a band leader on Impulse, including records that we've listened to on the show before, like Journey in Satchidananda, a monastic trio, Huntington Ashram Monastery, collaborating with artists like Pharoah Sanders and McCoy Tyner, and of course her husband, John Coltrane, up until his death in 1967. Over the course of this show, we're going to dig into some of her releases a little bit, talk about her contributions to music, and talk about some of her contributions to spiritual jazz and New Age music. I think what attracts me to Alice Coltrane's music in the first place is just that the arrangements are so lush and dense and wonderfully assembled. And we'll see that on records later on in the show, like World Galaxy and some of her later material as well. But you can definitely hear that on the track that we started our show off with, which is a track from Universal Consciousness, her 1971 release. Yeah, her playing, whether it's on the harp or the piano, is typically just these really densely layered sheets of arpeggios that just kind of wash over you. It's very textural. It's not trying to just overwhelm you or impress you with being overly technical, although sometimes it can approach that territory just as comfortably. But more than anything, I think it is really attempting to tap into this very genuine spiritual element, and you get the sense that she's really playing how she truly feels. She got her start as primarily a pianist in her hometown of Detroit. So to look at some of those roots, 50s Detroit jazz, we are going to start with one of the only other incredibly notable jazz harpists from this period, Dorothy Ashby, who I was first sort of introduced to by one of my friends who plays the harp, Emily, and was pointed in the direction of her wonderful record, Afro Harping, which is just fantastic. We're going to be listening to some earlier stuff. This track's called Moonlight in Vermont. Yeah, Alice Coltrane was very inspired by Dorothy Ashby's playing, even when she was still on the piano, just kind of borrowing from that approach and that sort of textural approach to playing that the harp can do really well. Kind of attempting to translate that to the piano, and then obviously down the line translating that very directly to the harp. After that, we're going to move on to a track by Terry Pollard, who is another pianist in the Detroit scene who also played the vibraphone. Alice Coltrane and Terry Pollard collaborated a number of times in this period and played in a live context with a variety of Detroit band leaders, and even had their own sort of duo and trio at this point. Sadly, there's not a ton of that I can find that's been recorded, but there is a solo Terry Pollard record, and we're going to check out a track from that called The More I See You. After that, we are going to end off this first set on Alice Coltrane's early influences with probably the most obvious influence, and that is a song from one of the later releases by John Coltrane. The two eventually met in the mid-60s in a live context. But even before they had formally met, Alice Coltrane said that she would hear his music and just got the sense that there were some incredibly deep similarities between the two of them. And several times in interviews, she would say some version of whenever she would hear his music would just think, you know, I think I would have done that the same way. Every time she heard him play, she got the impression that he was expressing something truly genuine and was trying to play something that encapsulated how he really felt, which I think is a quality that comes through wonderfully in Alice Coltrane's music as well. And I think their sort of musical and spiritual paths just converged at a wonderful time. They're both kind of heading in similar directions, seeking to explore similar territory. They both were sort of looking for the universal truths that ran through religion, and did not see themselves as belonging to any specific religion, but both thought of themselves as deeply spiritual beings. And I think both drew a lot of inspiration from the other. And Alice Coltrane eventually replaced McCoy Tyner as the piano player in Coltrane's group. But obviously that was cut short by his passing. And that's going to do it for this first set. Just a quick set on some of the influences of Alice Coltrane. All right, I'll see you back here in a few. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, you're tuned into WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3. I'm Claude Glass, and you're listening to an episode of Nucleotapes. This one is looking at the music of Alice Coltrane, a wonderful harpist, pianist, organist, composer, and band leader. We just closed that first set off with a track by John Coltrane called Welcome. I feel like you missed anything on the set list. It's always posted on reptiliansnackrecords.com/nucleotapes and on the Reptilian Snack Records Instagram page. We also have an archive of past episodes and other things like that. Moving right along in our show that deals with the music of Alice Coltrane, we're going to be looking at some contemporaries that contributed to the sort of broader genre of spiritual jazz that Alice Coltrane was kind of working in the late 60s and early 70s as a solo band leader. It's a mixture of jazz with a uniquely religious angle. Everything is kind of imbued with this, obviously, spiritual energy, combining elements of the musical traditions of India and Asia, the specifics of which kind of vary from album to album. But the most famous records probably in this genre would be John Coltrane's A Love Supreme and Pharoah Sanders' Karma. The people kind of in that immediate circle of musicians that played with and collaborated with John Coltrane and Alice Coltrane in the mid-60s and early 70s. But I thought it'd be fun in the second set to explore some other artists that were kind of seeking to combine elements of jazz and elements of religious music. So to start this first set off, we're going to hear a track from a record called Jazz Meets India. Maybe not the greatest title for a record. It certainly is an early example of two palettes intertwining, with traditional Indian instrumentation interacting with, your kind of what you'd traditionally expect to hear in a jazz record. We're going to hear the second track from that, which is called Yad, which features the Dewan Motihar Trio, the Irene Schweizer Trio, Manfred Schuff, and Barney Weiland. After that, we're going to hear a wonderfully minimalist and repetitive guitar track from Sonny Sherrick from his debut 1969 record. We're going to hear the track from that called Blind Willie. And then from there, we're going to hear a track from a collaborative record between Don Cherry and Latif Khan. The track's called Airmail, and the record is called Music Sangam. And then we're going to close this set on spiritual jazz off with a track by McCoy Tyner from the record Extensions, which features the harp playing of Alice Coltrane. Interesting to hear her distinctive tone and work pop up in a collaboration with another artist. Safe to say that I think they both were drawing a bit of influence from each other at this point. But before we get there, we're going to hear another Alice Coltrane record from her second release as a band leader, Huntington Ashram Monastery. We're going to hear the title track from that. Before these solo records came out, a monastic trio and Huntington Ashram Monastery, Alice Coltrane, after John Coltrane's death, went through an extraordinarily tumultuous period of mourning. But coming out of that period of intense inner turmoil, she realized that she still had a lot to say, a lot of music to make, and started with a release of some archival material, some collaborative projects between her and John Coltrane. Cosmic Music, that first release was called. I think it makes this music all the more powerful to think that it's coming out of a period of intense inner turmoil and self-reflection and sort of a refocusing on that musical path, which I think would happen several times in her career in different ways. I guess we'll get to that later in the show. But yeah, that's our set on some contemporaries in that genre of spiritual jazz. All right, I'll see you back in a few. We'll be right back.
La 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 la.
Welcome, everybody. A few things I wanted to get to this week. I didn't have the chance, and now I do, so let's do it. There is a quaint little hypothesis from MyPillow CEO and founder Mike Lindell about the forthcoming election. And as many of you know, Mike Pillow, as we know him, or even just Pillow for short, he is determined to grind to a screeching halt the 2022 and 2024 elections. And his new idea is something about voting machines. And he's explaining it to Steve Bannon. And it's the blind leading the blind. And I can't tell whether Bannon believed this stuff or whether either of them do. But take a look at the new strategy. This is wild.
This live link up with these technology people that you can actually go and get it to individual states and get injunctions to basically shut down the machines to be used in the 2020 midterm elections and state elections,
2022.
Sir?
Yeah, the 2022, that's correct, Steve. And in any elections, it would be over. We're going to get...
It is over.
Preliminary injunctions, and it's with no machines because they cannot do elections accurately, and they can be manipulated.
It wouldn't be accurate.
100%. They say, you know, they did it. They're caught now. They're guilty. It's in violation of fundamental rights to vote under 42-USC-1983, a violation of equal protection and also due process. We are starting with seven states immediately. We're going to get to every state, and of course, you're going to get pushback and stuff, but every state, by the way, you know who has the standing? All the voters, Steve.
Yeah. So there's a funny aspect to this, and Pillow is obsessed with machines, and he's trying to remember when he said he was going to sue every machine.
We're doing a class action lawsuit against all machines.
That is one of the funniest clips. My espresso machine has gone into hiding because of this forthcoming lawsuit. It is absolutely horrified. It may be completely shut down. The funny thing about this is it's cartoonish. It's off the wall. It's kooky. It's all of these different things. But the precedent that, or the rules, the law that Pillow cites just doesn't have anything to do with the use of voting machines. When he talks about 42 U.S. Code 1983, that's a section called Civil Action for Deprivation of Rights. And when you read it, it says every person and anyone who is deprived of a right has the ability to seek recourses and, you know, gives you standing, blah, 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 blah. The fact that voting machines are used doesn't deprive anyone of rights. You would have to demonstrate that. And of course, Pillow and others have failed to demonstrate that the mere existence of voting machines deprives someone of the right to vote, which is the right that we're talking about here. In addition to this, there's kind of the other side of it, which is if you got rid of all machines, if you did that and we simply had universal vote by mail. Everybody mails in a paper ballot and it's paper ballots counted one by one and then recounted. You count them and then you recount them. Okay. I would be fine with that. And it wouldn't be particularly good for Republicans. They love to claim, oh, the left would use mail-in ballots for fraud and all of it. There's no evidence of that. And we saw that in 2020. They claimed it, but there was not actually any evidence of it. It would take a really long time. And we've gotten used to, well, we want results sooner than that.